What a blessing to see national people doing the work of the ministry and desiring to do church planning. And the goal of missions is go overseas to see churches started, people saved. I know our desire in New Zealand is also to see New Zealanders doing church planning as well, missions work over there. That's a very thrilling time. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here in this missions conference. Your church has always been a great blessing and encouragement to our family. My wife and I were talking, and this is our fifth visit to your church. While on deputation, various Baptist World things, as well as a meeting and some other visit one time. And each of those times has been a blessing and encouragement to us, especially last year with the annual meeting here. I know a lot of work went into that, so thank you so much for allowing us to be with you this evening. Turn with me in your Bibles this evening to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, the end of Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at tonight, what are we to be doing as a local church? As we look at God's Word this evening, please try to separate yourselves from all that is going on today with the events of the day. Obviously, the election is on our minds. And that's a very important thing. My wife and I had a great opportunity to be able to vote about 3 weeks ago in Michigan. And definitely very important what God is going to do through this election and the results in the future. But in the end, this election will not change the duties of this church. This election will not change the ministry that God has given to you. Now, it might affect this or that. But the duties of this church, the ministry of this church, the goal of this church is to glorify God through fulfilling the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. That is our job. And whether it goes one way or another, in the end, whatever happens, your job will remain the same, the ministry God has given to you. Our theme, missions, taking the Word to the world. That is our duty no matter what happens in politics. Our country will be changed as people's hearts are transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, not through a politician. Matthew chapter 28 gives us our marching orders. What are we to be doing as a local church despite the political climate? Jesus Christ has called His disciples to a mountaintop up in Galilee to meet with them. This is a little time before He is to leave them. He is preparing them for His absence. He will be leaving them physically. And He has more to teach them, more to train them, more for them to understand before His departure. His disciples have been through a lot up to this point. Many things that they did not anticipate. Our Lord Jesus Christ dying for the sins of the world, rising again as well. Their world has been turned upside down. And they don't really know what to expect. They have been involved with years of ministry and they probably aren't exactly looking forward or maybe even anticipating our Lord Jesus Christ physically leaving them and giving them the great commands of the Great Commission. These are hometown fishermen. These are people that had average jobs and had been trained by the Lord Jesus Christ, but you weren't yet ready for all that was before them. So our Lord is preparing them. And in this passage, before He leaves them, He gives them their marching orders. As you go about ministry in this world, this is what you are to be doing. Verse 16 says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even until the end of the world. Amen." Why don't we pray before we begin? Dear Lord Jesus Christ, thank You so much for Your Word. Lord, thank you for the way you take care of us, the way you've saved us. And Lord, you've plainly laid out what we are to be doing. Lord, help us to both understand and obey your word this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Our Lord has clearly laid out in this passage what we are to be doing. And he's sharing this to his disciples, both then 2,000 years ago and to us as well. But before he gives them the Great Commission itself and lays down what they are to be doing in the work of the ministry, he first brings up the authority behind it. He gives them the basis for these commands in verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." That word power there is the word exousia in the Greek. It's the idea of authority. Jesus Christ had all authority. He was God incarnate in the flesh, now in a glorified body, the resurrection complete, ready to ascend to His Father on high. This is no mere man. This is God Himself. And His disciples needed to understand that. They needed to grasp that fact. That the things that Christ would say after that would be dependent on this command. And who was issuing this command? All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The Creator of the universe, according to Colossians chapter 1, the one who created everything, God Himself will be giving these commands. And later on, as these disciples go forth to preach the gospel into all of the world, and difficulties arise, and political powers ridicule them, and command them to cease or to stop what they are doing, they can remember back who issued these commands. It wasn't some idea they dreamed up one day on their own. It wasn't the idea of Peter or one of the other disciples. If what did not issue from some man's brain, mind, it was from God Himself. And as they endured the trials, the tribulations, many of them the martyrdom that would come, they could remember back to this day when that command was issued by God Himself. As we as Christians, as you as Market Manor Baptist Church, go about to preach the gospel, remember who has given you that command. It isn't your pastor. It isn't your idea. This idea comes from God Himself. He has given you this command. And as you go forth and endure minor persecution at this time, maybe major down the road, remember that we must obey God Himself. God has given us this command. We live in a world and in a country that really hates the idea of one authoritative religion. We live in a very relativistic society. One that claims if a religion claims that it is absolute and the only religion, then that's a problem. In our society today, they seem to say that any religion is okay as long as it doesn't claim it is the religion. However, our Bible says, Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." That is the gospel. There is one way to heaven through Jesus Christ. And as you preach that gospel, that there is one way to heaven, there are those that would not like it. There are those that would want you to stop. And we must preach faithfully. We must continue preaching the gospel. We must continue the Great Commission. And when trials come or difficulties or we are tempted to quit or maybe face minor persecution, we must remember God Himself has given us this command. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ, after establishing the authority behind the command, gives this group of disciples, gives us our marching orders. This is what we are to be about. says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. The word therefore referring to the previous statement. Based on my authority, I am commanding you to go and teach all nations, literally to make disciples. The Great Commission at its core is making disciples of all nations. Going around the world through your missions program, maybe some people themselves in this area, through this church in the Chicago area, going out, preaching the gospel, seeing people saved, discipled, growing in the Lord, seeing them become disciples of Jesus Christ. That is the goal. To see people saved and walking with the Lord and serving Him and glorifying them through their life. Little Christs. People that would honor and serve the Lord with their life. Transformed from the sinful life that they had before. That is the goal of the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So what are the steps of this commission here that we are given in verse 19 and 20? We are given here three steps to fulfilling the Great Commission as given in verse 19 and 20. It says, go ye therefore. First of all, we must go. This cannot be done passively. This cannot be done at home, on our own, sitting on a couch. It will not be done that way unless we have a lost person over. We must actively share the gospel on a day-by-day basis. Whether it's at work or to a neighbor or to a friend. As our brother talked about last night, the idea of going and getting to know people and building friendships with the goal of sharing the gospel with them. But also going to people we don't even know and meet on a day-by-day basis as well. And maybe it's passing out a tract or at work living a testimony that would honor and glorify God and seeking when we have the opportunity within a work environment to be able to share the gospel. We must proactively go. It cannot be done passively. We must go. You as a church must go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. They will not come here often seeking on their own. Someone must go out and find them. Whether it's in missions around the world, we're going to go to New Zealand, we're not going to arrive there and people are going to flock the plane wanting us to come off and to share the gospel with them. No, most New Zealanders are not interested in religion at all. We have to go to them. Share the gospel with them. Get to know them, show them the love of Jesus Christ, and be able to share the gospel with them so that they can come to know Christ as their Savior. It is proactive. First of all, we must go. Secondly, it says baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And you say, well, I may not be directly involved in baptism itself, of dunking someone under the water. No, but obviously baptism is a step that follows salvation. A person must get saved first. So not only are we to go out and preach the gospel, but we should desire to see a person saved and then follow the Lord in believer's baptism. The goal is the salvation of the lost. So we must go and preach the gospel in order to see people come to know Christ as their Savior. That should be our desire. And then thirdly, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This is probably one of the more neglected parts of the Great Commission. The idea of discipleship. The idea of going and training people that have come to know Christ as their Savior and seeing them discipled, seeing them growing in the Lord and starting to understand the Word of God, of discipling people that were not saved before and seeing them come and grow and in the Lord and be able to serve the Lord on their own. That involves a body of believers working together to see this person come to Christ and then beyond that to grow in the Lord. Discipleship is a vital part of the Great Commission. It is so often neglected. A person that is saved is not born, but they are a new creature. They are a babe in Christ. They are just learning the basics. And if we abandon them at that stage, they will often fail. I have an almost one-year-old daughter. She'll turn one next week. And she has grown much in the last year. from being born almost a year ago on November the 16th to now crawling around and starting to try different little words and cruising around furniture. She has made great progress over the first year of her life, but she has so much more to learn. And as a parent, my wife and I have the opportunity to help them to grow, to help them to, little Calissa, to grow up, to become a young lady that would honor and glorify the Lord. She needs to learn to walk on her own. She needs to learn how to talk. She needs to learn school. And many different things go into that process, and it takes a matter of years. We need to remember that when a person comes to Christ, it is the same way. They must learn to, in essence, spiritually walk and grow and learn. There's so much to learn. We had the opportunity on deputation to visit dozens of churches around the country. We've probably been to maybe 150 up until this point. Or so. And one of the blessings of that is, and sometimes it saddens us as well, is the opportunity to see local churches and the ministries that are there. What a blessing, what an opportunity to be able to travel and go to churches and see the ministries there and be able to talk to those pastors. But once in a while we go to a church and we see things that do sadden us. We were at a church up in Michigan a couple years ago or so. And as we were there and sharing the ministry, the pastor was encouraging his people about the importance of outreach and preaching the gospel, a very important thing. He was talking about a ministry that they had the previous summer, how several hundred, I think it was like 500 or 600 people had gotten saved, and praise the Lord for that. But we stood there in that church of 60, 70, 80 people, and we looked around and asked ourselves, where are they? Where are the people that were saved last year? Great, 500 or 600 saved, praise the Lord. But where are they? Was there any contact with them? Was there any discipleship or desire to help them to be able to grow in the Lord? Was there any work in their lives? Were they saved at all? Who knows? Those that were saved sent off to struggle in their Christian life. Was there any discipleship that took place at all? It is so important to fulfill the entire Great Commission of Jesus Christ. Here was a church that was passionate about evangelism, and rightly so, but was only fulfilling half the Great Commission. They were going out and seeing people saved, and that is where it ended. It takes an entire church to be involved in the matter of discipleship. It is so vital to a local church. We were in New Zealand, and I was talking to Garth Piper, our co-worker over there, and he's finished the church there in Hamilton with Bob McLean, whom you support, and gone over to Rotorua, and was working. Their church was growing, and there was one man in the church who often would come to him and talk about how he had seen this many people saved the week before, and this many people saved the week before, and this many people saved the week before, and praise the Lord for that. But one day he said to him, where are they? Where are these people that are saved? And he said, unless you're able to give me at least the names of these people so I could visit them, so I can go and try to talk with them, please don't bring them to me, because we don't want baby Christians going off on their own out into the world. And his purpose in training this man was simply this, that salvation and outreach and evangelism is an essential and an important part of the Great Commission, but so is the matter of discipleship. So how are you involved in discipleship? Through this local church. Oh, you say, well, yeah, there's Sunday schools for that, or maybe there's a program here or a program there, but how about you? Are you involved not just in outreach, in preaching the gospel, but in touching another person's life and helping them to grow? Maybe someone here in this church. Maybe they've been saved just a few years. Are you trying to be an encouragement with them? To them? Are you trying to help them to grow in their Christian life? That doesn't mean going up to them and saying, I am going to disciple you. No. The matter of just one life touching another life, one life influencing another. In my church back home, when I was in college, there was a man named Mr. Borden. He was a godly man, older gentleman, 70 or 80 years old. And I got to know him, and he would often talk to me when I would come home from college and ask how I was doing. He was a great blessing to me. I would grown up in the church. I saved at a young age, but he was a blessing to me. And several times during my breaks from college, he would take me to the Tim Hortons just down the road from our church there in Saginaw, coffee shop, local coffee shop and donuts. He would take me there after a Wednesday night service, and we'd go over there, and he would sit me down and start asking me questions. How was my walk with the Lord? What was I learning in my Bible reading? How was I learning in college? And we would talk and chat, and I really enjoyed it, and it was a great encouragement to me. Never did he come to me and say, I'm trying to disciple you. But later on, as I looked back on those times, I realized that's indeed what he was doing. He was keeping me accountable, and he was being a blessing to me and helping me grow in my walk with Jesus Christ. An older believer in the Lord coming to someone that was younger in the faith, coming alongside and helping me to simply grow. Even though I'd been saved years before, helping me to grow in my Christian walk. That's a matter of discipleship. What an opportunity we have to train believers to help each other grow in the Lord. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. What an order. All things whatsoever I have commanded you. The opportunity to train them in everything that we've been commanded. The New Testament, the Gospels at its core, what Christ has said. And then beyond that, the New Testament and the Bible itself. The Great Commission is so important. Not just the matter of evangelism, but that of discipleship as well. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then thirdly, after we've looked here at the really our marching orders, the Great Commission at its core, look at the comfort at the end of verse 20. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ has instructed His disciples. Maybe by now their mouths are agape as they think through what all this entails. The political climate, maybe not necessarily friendly. The meaning of leaving loved ones to travel the world to preach the gospel eventually. What that might entail or cost them. And thinking through that the Lord Himself may be leaving, the concern on their faces as they consider all of this. And our Lord ends on such a comforting note. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Our Lord Jesus Christ had said He would leave. He was going to leave them. And yet, with that, He would send a comforter. He would send the Holy Spirit. He would send His power. And with that, His presence. Our Lord Jesus Christ would never leave them nor forsake them. He would empower them for the task. They were not going to be able to do this alone. Our Lord Jesus Christ would go with them through the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus Christ would empower them for the task. And as you read through the New Testament, that's exactly what you see. That we can't do it alone. But our Lord Jesus Christ has given us the power to do it. That we can have boldness and even the words to speak in order to preach the gospel boldly and to go forth and fulfill the Great Commission. And as we go, He goes with us and gives us the comfort we need. We do not do this alone. What an enormous task. And yet what a great comfort as we go forth to fulfill the Great Commission of Jesus Christ. No matter what happens in this election that takes place, your orders as Marquette Manor Baptist Church are clear. Nothing changes that way. You have been given the Great Commission, so are you fulfilling it? Are you obeying, and how are you obeying it? We have been commanded to go. To see people saved and then to train them and disciple them in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ so they can serve Him and glorify Him with their life. How are you doing in that task? Are you fulfilling the entire great commission of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much for your word.